Do you know that it's the small things that kill startups? It is absolutely avoidable issues which kill your startup idea. And that is what I'm going to share with you today. 10 little things that might kick your startup right in the gut. That's what's coming up next.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
More what? Coffee?
No, more money. Because now Geico's discounts are even bigger, like our pay-in-full discount when you pay your whole auto premium up front, and our multi-policy discount when you bundle homeowners and auto.
Oh, I like saving money.
Wake up.
It's Gary Pigeon.
What were you dreaming about?
Nothing.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Stretch your mind. It's that time again to yank your brain away from stinking thinking and wash it in new ideas and thoughts. It's time for your checkup from the neck up and maybe a massive mental enema. This yank is going to give your brain a crank, has been called a genius since his patents are part of every mobile device made. Get ready for him to reach into your ears and massage that brain of yours. Your host, Jovan Hutton-Pulitzer.
You've heard, probably from your parents or grandparents, that it's the little stuff that can kill you. You've heard them say it. You've heard your parents say it. You've heard your grandparents say it. You probably had school teachers say it. The little stuff can kill you, especially when it comes to business, specifically when it comes to startups. Now, there are tremendous records out there just for the asking, just for the looking up about the startup industry. You can find pitch decks that have raised millions and millions of dollars in funding, but yet entrepreneurs still decide to do their own pitch decks and don't look back into the past that see what have worked for others. What I'm saying is there's a blueprint out there to success. And when it comes to startups, one of the best things you can learn is what are the steps that have been taken to absolutely assure success when it comes to a startup? And interesting enough, it's not about just studying success. Most successful people will tell you that failure, absolutely tremendous belly flopping failure, is what helped the most successful people in the world become successful. Yes, failure breeds success, but that doesn't mean you have to intentionally fail. It just means don't worry about failing if you make honest mistakes, but you know what? Don't make stupid mistakes. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Stupid startup mistakes. And I just use the term stupid, not because it's anybody's intelligence that does it. It's just simple, systematic, bad decision-making that usually does it. I'm going to give you 10. I'm going to go at them in reverse order based on feedback from large surveys. So I pulled these all together, done the research for you. So let's start doing the countdown of the top 10 stupid startup mistakes that entrepreneurs make. At number 10, I would call this ignoring self-promotion. Now, this is different than sales and marketing. This is what I call self-promotion. It's not necessarily advertising your product or your service. It's more building part of the brand or the concept or the persona or the mystery, or the myth, about you, your company, and what you're here to do. That could be as simple as just not using social media. Yes, I know more people every day jump on social media, but more and more people are getting disenchanted with social media because they don't get 1,000 likes in an hour. Well, very few people get 1,000 likes in an hour, but you know what's more important than even those likes? Is using social media just to get your company name or image or your hashtag out there. Nobody has to like it, right? Or even comment on it for you to start populating it in the search engines. So at its basic function, make sure you start using social media. And remember, if you don't tout yourself, who will? A lot of people avoid this. They look down on what they call self-promotion. It's not self-promotion. It is promotion of something you're putting your heart and soul into, and that should be something you're proud of. Let's go to number 9. Number 9, stupid startup mistakes, is just failing to ask for help from others. If you use anything online, just like you're listening to this program, you have access to online. Having access to online great tools like LinkedIn, you can use it as a reason to reach out to somebody to ask them if they could just advise you. Look over your shoulder. Hey, would you comment on my idea? You have to remember the numbers. You know what the numbers are. If you fail to ask, you are 100% guaranteed not to get an answer. Think about that. I just told you to ask for help. If you fail to ask, you're 100% guaranteed you are not going to get an answer. If you just send out one request on LinkedIn saying, hey, would you look over my shoulder? Could you help me with this? Hey, would you give me your feedback on this and give me some insight? Because I recognize you as a leader, as a peer, as a pioneer. You immediately change your odds to 50-50. That either will or it won't. And that is the single fastest accelerator right there. It's just send the message. And that also means long before you even put in executives, this is my standing practice now, long before I even place the whole team of executives, I place in a team of advisors. It's just a normal line item now. Set aside some of that equity and bring in advisors. Bring in the people that can help you flesh out your idea and get great ideas and do it right in the beginning. So that's what we're talking about today. And I'm going to continue on. You write these down because don't let these silly, simple mistakes take your startup down. We'll be right back right after this.
Do you know why Joe Vaughn loves doing talk radio? Because he has a face made for radio. It's true. Look at his website. He's a nerd hiding out in a biker's body. Speaking of body, how about a quick pee-pee break? Joe Vaughn will be right back.
Geico presents Left Brain versus Right Brain.
After much deliberation, I've decided we should switch to Geico.
Hey, sounds good to me.
We could save hundreds of dollars on our car insurance.
Which, now I'm just blue skying here, we can reinvest those funds into my business idea.
Oh, not this again.
First, get some investors on board, right?
Nobody is going to invest in dental floss made of turkey jerky.
Okay, well, not with that attitude. Wow.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Your business ideas need room to run wild. But there's no room for error when you're raising the bar. A reliable partner can make a real difference. That's the role of a realtor. An irreplaceable expert who represents your values. A reassuring voice of reason helping you research and reach the right decisions. So you can run your business without running the risk. Is your agent a realtor? Look for the R. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you think you can solve any problem by turning your computer off and on.
Hey man, is something wrong with your laptop?
Nah, just need to turn it off and on. It's no problem.
It's smoking.
Yeah, that just means it needs to reboot.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
And now it's on fire.
Happens all the time. It's all good.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Okay, it's like Albert Einstein said, anyone who's never made a mistake has never tried anything new. And we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. Let's get back to the show.
Okay, number 8 and number 7 are pretty closely aligned. They're just different sides of the very same coin. So what comes in at number 8? That's spending too much money. I see it all the time. I have seen some of the most egregious startup spending you can ever imagine. Executives buying stuff that the company never needed and the company would never use. And in fact, over 25 years ago, I was guilty of it myself and had to learn the hard way. Now, number 7 seems to be more of a business pandemic today. And what is it? It is not making sure you have enough money. So many startups stay in perpetual servitude begging mode. Just give me a little money. Just give me a little money and I can do this. I have found investors use that too. We'll dole out the money little by little, get you to milestones. You don't make the milestones, they'll snatch your company. So I'm also not a proponent of raising too little of money or short runs of money. I've seen people that raise $5,000 here, $1,000 there. I've seen companies that raise money but nothing but payroll and have been living from payroll to payroll to payroll for years. And they have nothing to show for it. Not making sure you have enough money is a huge problem. Now, if your company requires a lot of development, a lot of technology, and a lot of, having to make things upfront more than most other companies, I always recommend you try to give yourself a 24-month runway. What is a 24-month runway? That means you have more than enough time to flush out your product, develop your product, fine-tune your product, and get your product into a proof of concept before you ever have to raise more money. See, part of that ability to execute is confidence and focus. We're going to talk about that in a minute, ironically, but if you can't focus because you're living from small investor to small investor, you cannot do what's right for your company. So one of the best things you can do for your company is when you decide to get funding, make sure you raise enough money. Don't think about, oh, I'm just going to raise this amount in 90 days. I can be cash flow. Number one, most people never get it to cash flow in 90 days. And if that's what you've bet it on, many times you're going to be begging for money all over again, which creates opportunity for you have to sell your soul just to get to the next paycheck. Make sure you know exactly what it takes. This is not your want list. This is your need list. Your skeleton crew, skeletized down, making sure you keep the doors open, even if you need an office anymore, you might not, but making sure you have a runway. I wouldn't recommend any less than a 12-month runway. My personal standard, as I said, is 24 months. Number six, building a company that chases investors, not customers. Now, granted, many tech startups might not be revenue positive. It might be hard for a while to get to revenue positive, which means you need investors. Of course, you got to chase them a bit, but that's why I go back to number seven, make sure you have a runway. Why do you need that runway? Don't forget travel and other stuff. You need that runway so while you're developing, you can go after customers. And maybe the customers aren't going to throw you right to revenue, but at least you're getting to proof of concept. You're getting your product or idea or service put out there. You're perfecting the errors. You're adjusting. You're being flexible. That's key, being flexible. And you're getting your product out there in the market. So it is not wise to set up a company where all you do is chase investors, not customers. You must chase investors at the very beginning, but you must raise enough money so you can focus on customers. You might get pleasantly surprised. You get to revenue really quick. You don't have to go to other investors. You don't have to go to other investors. I'm going to take a very, very, very quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to do the most important ones, number five through number one. You're going to flip out at some of these, but these are silly startup mistakes, which can be easily avoided. Be right back in this commercialist break.
President of Coke once said, Joe Farn set his hair on fire with tons of new ideas. So, while you pat out the fire on your head, let's give Joe Farn a break. Be right back, right after this.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. No more fucking ABBA.
We're back. This podcast will give you a massive dose of tech and business savvy. So let's get started. Here's Jovan.
No more freaking silly startup mistakes. That's what we're talking about in this broadcast. You don't really need to make the mistakes that other people made. Let's get right to it. Let's get to number five. Number five on the list of 10 silly startup mistakes is not having the right co-founders. Boy, is that the truth. Now, you have to balance this one carefully. With all people that are exceptionally bright comes some very, very odd, quirky, unique behavior and traits. Now, you can have some co-founders in a startup that do nothing but stay behind the scenes sheltered because their Igor-like appearance or behaviors is not something you want to put in front of customers, and that's totally fine. But every founder must contribute and contribute in their unique way. Some of the things that does not qualify you as a startup co-founder are: you're a relative. That doesn't qualify you. In fact, that makes it difficult, because if the one person that's your relative is a leader and you're there as a co-founder, it's very hard for you to listen to what's being said and follow instructions, and it can lead to squabbles. Lovers, yep, lovers don't make great co-founders. Don't do that one. Believe me, don't do that one. Additionally, the person at the coffee shop that smiled at you nicely every day and you gave a part-time job to and hung out with, and you saw him once or twice a week and all of a sudden, hey, you'd be great, come in my company, I'll call you a co-founder. That does not make a co-founder. And co-founders can actually come in after the start, because they create so much contribution and innovation and change to the company that you can call them a co-founder, and they've earned it. So not having the right co-founders can basically put a stake in the heart of your startup. You have to get along, but that does not mean you have to be friends, but you must respect each other. You must listen to each other, and you must actually take the time to understand what each person brings to the table and why they're there as a co-founder. If you have no respect for a co-founder and you get into a deal, that deal many times is sunk. Now, don't get me wrong, co-founders can start out having great respect for each other, and that respect can be destroyed. You might find out you don't like someone. You might find out somebody's just batshit crazy. That is why when it comes to your co-founders, you must spend time with them. You must ferret them out. You must understand them. You must understand and embrace the quirks. And in the true sense of a partnership, you must be able to talk out everything and consider everything. Co-founders are created equal in the fact that you must talk it out. It does not always come down to the one who owns the most stock. If it's always approached from that standpoint, you'll have a flat organization, meaning one person rules the roost, and that hurts. Let's talk about number four. Number four is failing to execute sales and marketing. Failing to execute sales and marketing means you actually just think sales are going to come to you. Many people believe if you just build it, they will come. Well, this is no Kevin Costner movie. And I was always taught, you know, you heard, build a better mousetrap, people will beat a path to your door. It's actually bullshit. Because if they don't know where your door is, you don't tell them where your address is. You don't tell them where to find you. How in the hell do they find your door? That's just common sense. And so you have to market. You have to sell. You have to get your message out there. And from the very beginning, now you will be many times in stealth mode and you don't want to talk about it. But the moment you're ready to talk about it, you must talk, 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 sell, 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 market, market, market. There are times you're doing it to make money. There's times you're doing it to start to build your brand and reputation. They do go hand in hand, but you can't just sit there and think it's going to happen without a marketing budget. That's also what you have to raise money for, because you've got to get the word out. Don't think it's going to happen with a $5 Facebook ad. That's not how it works. Don't get all excited because you brought in a download for a half a penny. Oh my God, I got a download for a half a penny. Why? Because it's not about that number. It's about what you spent and how many people did it, right? If you spent $10,000 and it cost you a half a penny, that's knocking it out of the park. If you spent one penny and you got one download, right, or two downloads, and that was it, that's not knocking it out of the park. You don't have enough information. So failing to execute sales and marketing is a huge, huge mistake. Let's go to number three, lack of focus. I had an entrepreneur with a really good idea send me a deck the other day. but the deck had about 20 different items in it. I've made this mistake myself in my career long ago. I thought I had to spit everything out, show every possible way that it could be done. No, in today's limited attention span industry, attention deficit disorder rules. It's not just millennials, it's even business people. Give me the bullet points, that's all I want. Do it really fast, do it in two sentences, that's all I need to get. Now, if that's how you plan your operation, you're screwed. You shouldn't do business with that person if they don't pay attention to the details. But when it comes to the pitch, bam, the pitch should be fast. So pick out the two things that make you a success and why your deal should be done. Focus on those. You have to have some flexibility. You have to understand your markets. But even if you can do 20 things, don't run after 20 things at once, because then your team is fractured, and it's fractured because it does not have focus. It does not have focus. I'm going to go to number 9, and number 9 could, or on this list, I should say number 2, can be interchangeably. It could be number 2, or it could be number 1. For this particular one, I'm going to put it in the number 2 slot, because this mistake is made often. And that is building something or offering something nobody wants. See, some people think if you just put technology to it, or just put a .com on the end of it, it will work, and that's all it takes. In fact, it's a discussion I had with the chairman of Goldman Sachs over 20 years ago. Getting ready to go public and talking about technology and stuff, he asked me, well, what do you think will make some of these technology deals not work? And I said to him, very point blank, and he even ended up serving on subsequent presidential cabinets for commerce, but I told him very point blank, I said, you? And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, because you keep on taking all these companies public just because they have a .com on the end of them, like drcoop.com, gardentool.com, rustynail.com. I said, it's not .com on the end that makes a business successful. It has to have a solid product. It has to have a solid market. It has to have a way to get out there. It can't be just because it's technology and you call it a .com. He actually got mad at me, didn't end up leading my IPO, but I am a victim of telling the truth exactly like it is. And you all know what happened in the .com bust, big ass belly flop. What the hell happened? Well, all these companies that had .com stuck on the end exploded because many of them did not have a product that somebody wanted. And they just thought sticking .com or technology on it made it work. And that is not the case. This is the last commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to do the number one and wrap up the show. Think about it. We're talking about the 10 silly startup mistakes that can kill your startup. This last one's a doozy, but most people never, ever think about it. And it is truly a double-edged sword, because this one can kill you 2 times over. Hang tight. We'll be right back right after this.
Your host for this program is Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, the internet pioneer who created Scan to Connect and Scan Commerce. You know, while you're able to scan codes with your mobile device and get information. So hang tight, we'll be right back.
Geico presents Left Brain versus Right Brain.
After much deliberation, I've decided we should switch to Geico.
Hey, sounds good to me.
We could save hundreds of dollars on our car insurance.
Which, now I'm just blue skying here, we can reinvest those funds into my business idea.
Oh, not this again.
First, get some investors on board, right?
Nobody is going to invest in dental floss made of turkey jerky.
Okay.
Well, not with that attitude. Wow.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Your business ideas need room to run wild. But there's no room for error when you're raising the bar. A reliable partner can make a real difference. That's the role of a realtor. An irreplaceable expert who represents your values. A reassuring voice of reason helping you research and reach the right decisions. So you can run your business without running the risk. Is your agent a realtor? Look for the R. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you think you can solve any problem by turning your computer off and on.
Hey man, is something wrong with your laptop?
Nah, just need to turn it off and on. It's no problem.
It's smoking.
Yeah, that just means it needs to reboot.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
And now it's on fire.
Happens all the time. It's all good.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Did you know Jovan gets fingered by almost a billion people a day? Yep, that's every time they use certain features on their mobile device and click it with their finger to make it work. And they don't even know his weird brain came up with that. Now back to the show.
Talking about a weird brain, to me, it's just absolutely weird not looking backwards in history to find out what mistakes to avoid. That's what we're talking about, the top 10 silly, really stupid startup mistakes that are made, because you don't have to make these because there's a track record out there. We've covered them in reverse from number 10 all the way up to number 2, and now we're at number 1. What do you think number 1 is? Some people think it is just creating something that people that nobody wants, and that's what kills your startup. That's actually not the number one. There is one thing that will kill your startup just as quick as having a stupid idea that nobody wants. Your startup can actually be slaughtered on the butcher block of business simply because, now, number one, you just need to know, you could have a rock star of an idea. You could have incredible margins. You could be the right product at the right time, in the right place in history, with the right positioning. A product that everybody needs right now. And it can still be gutted on the butcher block of business because of this one. Do you know what it is? It literally is poor people. You might refer to it as hiring the wrong people, having the wrong people, keeping around the wrong people, and not investing in the right people. There are so many reasons this happens in business, the wrong people. Sometimes startup people think it's all about, you got to do it for dirt cheap. VCs, investors will tell you, oh, you got to do it for dirt cheap. You got to work for $1 a day. And that's what really makes you a startup business, an entrepreneur. Well, that's not true. You can't just hire people that aren't worthy, right? And you can't hire someone with 30 years of experience making it happen and think you're going to pay them like somebody who's right out of school for 30 minutes. That's not going to happen. In fact, hiring the right people the right way, one person can be a super person and replace the work of 20 people. But sometimes new startup entrepreneurs think it's about having a crowded house. Think it's about showing off, look at all these people I employ. That's not true. That's not true. Because you're still just as viable as a company if it just took 2 to 3 supermen and women to make it happen. So that's why hiring can create so much trouble. This is where organizations get in trouble. They have a flatlined organization, one CEO and or founder, big dog, and everybody else is spread flat. It's not a pyramid, spread flatlined. Everybody reports to that one, and that one must make every single decision. That can be dangerous. The other side of the dangerous is you could have an organization and you have a person that doesn't have the intelligence or ability, whether it be business intelligence, emotional intelligence, or whatever the case may be, to handle the position, and that's another logjam. Or I've seen some founders and startups be rock stars of people, but they always have to be the smartest person in the room and can't hire people around them that are smarter than them. Everything in your startup depends upon people. And you got to hire the right people for the right reason. And I will give you a very enlightening example. In one of my companies, I had one fellow approach me that I could tell in my gut he might be able to make a difference. If you looked at him from the outside and you followed his mannerisms and you looked at the packaging, and in this one, unfortunately, if you just smelled his breath, you would instantly recognize that he was masking with mints and mouthwash that he was an alcoholic. He was a high-functioning alcoholic, but an alcoholic nonetheless. Couldn't get up early, couldn't work long, but had talent. And I was able to recognize the key talent he had, and that one person operating in one very small space, making one single phone call, executing on one connection, made all the difference in the world of going from $0 to $1 billion. So that was the right person. That's why you have to see that. And you have to be able to see how everybody works together. And in that case, I never expected anything else out of that person except that one tipping point, which he delivered. Then there are other people that can have incredible degrees, PhDs, all of these acronyms and letters after their name. But because they're fearful and fearful of making a mistake and fearful of protecting those letters and don't want to make a mistake that might backsplash on them, they are paralyzed from doing business. Therefore, their $500,000 education is not worth anything because they can't execute. And that's the most delicate dance you can do as a startup. You must have the right people. Taking up space and breathing air is not a qualification to have a position. Being your favorite past barista or an old high school buddy doesn't cut it. You must put the right people in the right positions for the right reason. And you must have people you trust that you will allow them to execute. Because if you don't have enough trust to allow them to execute and you have to have your fingers in everything, it will create a bottleneck. That bottleneck will create confusion. That confusion will create poor communication. That poor communication will create fear. That fear will paralyze the organization and your startup will fail. You have to work through people and with people, and they must have a valid reason that they sit there at the table with you. I could go on and on and on. I could have expanded this list to 100, but these are the top 10 silly startup mistakes that everyone's made. I've made almost every one of these at some time in my career, but I learned. That's the key. Failure breeds success. Don't go out for failure. Of course you go out for success. But learn from others. That's what it's about. Pay attention to these. Listen to this program over and over. And it may help you launch your startup. Stay alive, stay valuable, and become a tremendous success. Until next time.
By fast.
Thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to Jovan Hutton-Pulitzer live. And as Jovan says, if you can dream it, you can do it. Speaking of doing it, let's do this again next time. Find Jovan on all social media.
Or search hashtag Jovan Hutton-Pulitzer.
Or by visiting jovanhuttonpulitzer.org.
Until next time.